Russia rejects the 10-point peace plan offered by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky as fighting intensifies in parts of Ukraine. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas condemns Israel's seizure of an archaeological area south of Al-Quds, calling it a new crime aimed at Judaizing the occupied city. And the U.S. Supreme Court rules to keep in place, for now, a controversial pandemic-era border restriction order known as Title 42. Well, welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us. Moscow has rejected a peace plan offered by Ukraine, saying it must include Kiev's recognition of the four regions annexed by Russia. The Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said there can be no peace plan until Kiev takes into account what he called the realities of the four regions. He was referring to the regions of Donetsk, Luhansk, Kherson, and Zaporizhia that Russia annexed after a referendum vote in September. Ukrainian and its Western allies have rejected the referendum vote and Russia's new territorial claims. The Ukrainian peace plan includes the withdrawal of Russian troops from its land. This would mean that Moscow would have to give up the four regions as well as Crimea, which Russia also annexed through referendum in 2014. Kremlin has expressed its openness to peace talks with Ukraine, but says it sees no willingness from Kiev to negotiate. The UK is gearing up for more strikes as workers from various sectors express their frustration at low wages. Border force worker and railway staff have already gone on a strike, causing massive disruptions for passengers, shoppers, and commuters. Border force workers say that they will stay off the job until New Year's Eve. Military personnel and other civil servants are now having to cover for striking workers at airports. Nurses and ambulance drivers are also planning further industrial action in January. Workers are demanding higher pay in keeping with the country's soaring inflation. The UK's Prime Minister has already voiced his opposition to wage increases, saying that it will stoke inflation. The UK is witnessing a decades-high inflation rate, which has led to a cost-of-living crisis in the country. Britain's rollercoaster political year has wrapped up in a crest of strike action, a general cost-of-living crisis, and economic and political uncertainty. But, as Amina Taylor reminds us from London, the UK endured even more upheaval during 2022, including the death of a monarch and a seemingly revolving prime ministerial door at Downing Street.
Brits are still reeling from the impact of 2022. It's hard to recall a political year that's seen the country lurch from one crisis to the next, all bookended, it seems, by the saga of which particular Conservative Prime Minister was in charge. Boris Johnson had managed to cling on to power despite mounting evidence presented that his position had become untenable. His missteps during lockdown, dubbed Partygate, a faltering economy exacerbated by the outbreak of conflict in Ukraine, made his departure an inevitability. The race to replace him was brutal, exposing the deep divisions within the Conservatives. Party members chose Liz Truss over Sunak before, but that was only the beginning of the saga. Analyst Chris Bambury was following events closely and reflects on that period of chaos.
We had this strange interim where Liz Truss beat Sunak, clearly showing that a majority of the Conservative Party membership were not going to vote for Sunak for reasons which I think are fairly obvious, which are never really talked about. But Truss was a disaster. And then we ended up with Sunak being shoehorned into the Prime Ministership with no actual election.
I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party.
Ah, the blink and you'll miss it Truss era. 7 weeks of chaos which saw the pound take a hit and the markets recoil at the sheer ineptitude on political display. There was a sense that the UK's political landscape had now become a running joke.
The chaos of the Liz Truss premiership, you know, was just awesome. I don't think we've ever seen anything like that in British politics. British politics is supposed to be about stability. It prides itself in selling itself, Britain, as a brand to the rest of the world that has been politically stable. This was like Italian politics, you know, and the prime minister is just coming and going. This did not give a vision of Britain as a stable political entity.
Not content with topsy-turvy politics, the UK's longest-serving monarch, Queen Elizabeth II, passed away aged 96, leaving the UK contemplating its colonial legacy. With King Charles III with Camilla, Queen Consort, by his side, it was a new era, but one filled with old uncertainties.
I shall strive to follow the inspiring example I have been set in upholding constitutional government and to seek the peace, harmony, and prosperity of the peoples of these islands.
Despite the passing of the baton, the impact of Brexit, the stalemate in the north of Ireland, with the cost of living crisis biting, Prime Minister's in-tray was bulging. 2022 is also the year Britain saw a re-emergence of strike action across a multitude of sectors.
We have been reasonable, but it is impossible to find a negotiated settlement when the dead hand of the government is presiding over and blocking a resolution in these talks.
We are seeing the recovery of industrial unrest, workers taking trade union action, and finding that when they go on strike, they are popular, that people sympathise with them, sections of the working class and indeed the middle class. And I think that spells trouble ahead. These strikes, we haven't seen anything like this in Britain really since the days of Margaret Thatcher. This is new, and I think people are learning new habits, new skills of taking industrial disputes, and I think potentially this is a bit of a game changer down the road.
Rishi Sunak and the rest of his Conservative government will be desperately hoping that there is not a repeat of the past tumultuous year. A 12-month period that's seen record number of Brits slide into poverty. But analysts are warning that desperate changes need to happen because so far it seems the Tories are heavy on excuses and light on solutions. On the cusp of a new year, there are many challenges awaiting the average British family. Whoever is in charge in Downing Street, it's the most vulnerable who continue to pay the heaviest price. Without firm solutions from the political class, it seems the upcoming period might hold still more pain for those who can ill afford it. Amina Taylor, London.
Israel has decided to go ahead with its plan to excavate an archaeological site in the town of Silwan, south of the occupied Al-Quds, despite warnings from Palestinian resistance groups. An Israeli settlers organization known as the Zionist Association of Elad says that it has started carrying out excavations in Birkat al-Hamra. This is the area where the settlers discovered a tomb supposedly belonging to the midwife of Jesus Christ. The regime seized the historic site on Tuesday morning after raiding the area and assaulting residents in the neighborhood. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has strongly condemned the seizure, calling it a new crime by Israeli settlers. The group says the move is aimed at Judaizing Al-Quds and expelling its original inhabitants. Hamas has also called on the Arab League and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation to take action against the latest Israeli violation. Iran has announced Washington's support for Israel. The foreign ministry spokesman says in the eyes of the U.S. and Europe, Israeli crimes against women and children are no violation of human rights and even deserve support. Nasser Kanani made the comments on his Twitter account. He attached a number of photos portraying Israeli crimes against Palestinians, including the killing and the detention of Palestinians and the demolition of their homes. He also gave a sense of the extent of Israeli crimes by quoting Palestinian officials. They say that this year alone, the Israeli regime has killed 220 Palestinians, injuring some 9,000 people, arrested 500, and destroyed over 800 homes. The figures come as the regime has intensified a crackdown on Palestinians in the past year, especially during the past several months. Millions of Iranians have taken part in nationwide funeral processions to bid farewell to 400 anonymous martyrs who lost their lives during the Iraqi-imposed war of the 1980s. Every now and then, Iran and Iraq exchange remains of soldiers recovered from the previous battlefields in borderland territories. Our correspondent Gisu Mishahmadi tells us more.
Caskets with the remains of unidentified martyrs draped in Iranian flags and carried in mass processions. For many Iranian families, the painful legacy of the eight-year Iran-Iraq War, referred to as the Sacred Defense, drags on after more than three decades as they hopefully wait for news of loved ones still missing.
The martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatimeh, Lady Fatimeh, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, became the perfect occasion to bid farewell to 400 unknown soldiers of the eight-year Iraqi imposed war.
In the capital, Tehran, the last farewell on Tuesday honored 200 soldiers whose remains were recently recovered from the former battlefields along the Iran-Iraq border. Funerals were held for another 200 soldiers in other cities and towns across Iran. None of the soldiers have been identified, and their remains are to be buried as unknown martyrs. We should never forget the martyrs, their families, and the sacrifices they made for us to be here today. And the occasion of Hazrat Fatima's martyrdom anniversary is the best reminder of that. Iran has been the scene of foreign-backed riots since mid-September, and many who attended the funeral procession saw it as an opportunity to send a message to the enemies of the Islamic Republic.
I personally came here because I think that at this very crucial point in time, it is important for me and my generation to show support for the Islamic Republic of Iran, to show that the way mainstream media is trying to portray Iran these days is fake news, and that my generation will always uphold the values of those who lost their lives for the independence of our country.
We will walk down the same path as our martyrs. Our presence here is a clear message to all of our enemies and the rioters in particular.
We have pledged allegiance to our leader Ayatollah Khamenei, and no matter what happens, we will always support the leader. Especially these days, it is even more important to be vocal about it.
Trucks piled high with the caskets made their way through the streets. Men and women in black followed them weeping for those who lost their lives in a bloody war which left more than a million casualties on both sides. But most importantly, they turned out once again to pledge allegiance to the Islamic Republic of Iran. Gisumisha Ahmadi, Tehran.
The Supreme Court in the U.S. has ruled to keep in place for now controversial pandemic-era border restriction order known as Title 42. It allows officials to expel migrants caught at the border with Mexico. The court accepted a petition by 19 Republican-ruled states that had warned of a surge of migrants if the policy was reversed, as per a lower court's ruling. The court said that it would hear arguments on whether the states could intervene to defend Title 42 in its February session. The ruling comes as thousands of migrants remain stranded at Mexico's northern border in the cold. The previous policy was due to end on December 21st. And a lower court judge had ruled to invalidate the emergency public health order. However, President Joe Biden has sided with the apex court, saying that his administration would heed the court's decision until a final ruling on the matter. Title 42 allows the U.S. to return migrants to Mexico or certain countries without looking into their request for asylum. A group of migrants represented by the American Civil Liberties Union had sued the U.S. government over the policy. They argued that the expulsions to Mexico exposed them to serious harms like kidnapping or assaults. Critics have branded the policy inhumane, saying that U.S. border policies had caused significant strain throughout the region. Gun violence is the leading cause of premature deaths in the U.S. Gun death rates have been in the highest in decades, and 2022 in particular has been one of the worst years. An American nonprofit group says over 6,000 children have been killed or injured so far this year across the U.S. as a result of gun violence.
The number of children shot and killed in the United States in 2022 exceeded 6,000. The Gun Violence Archive found that at least 6,032 children, 17 years of age and younger, had been the victims of America's deadly gun epidemic. The number was the highest since GVA started keeping a record of gun violence casualties in 2014. The figure reflected a notable increase since last year, when arbitrary deployment of firearms by civilians was found to be responsible for around 5,700 casualties across the country. At least 306 children, 11 years old or younger, have been killed by gunfire, with 668 being injured. Additionally, 1,325 teenagers, aged 12 to 17, died by gunfire, with 3,732 being injured. Last month, the GVA said there had been a total of 609 mass shootings in 2022 in the United States so far, putting the country on pace to reach around 675 by the end of the year. The grim statistics come after a 3-year-old girl in Kansas City, Missouri, was killed on Christmas Eve in what police suspect was an accidental shooting. The child shooting deaths in 2022 also include 19 students. all 11 years old or younger, killed in a mass shooting on May 24th at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. One of the youngest victims killed by gunfire this year was a 5-month-old who was shot in the head while sitting in a car in Chicago during a June 24th drive-by shooting. The United States has been suffering from an expanding trend of gun violence and episodes of mass shootings. In July, U.S. President Joe Biden said that a flood of guns was turning American communities into killing fields.
According to new data just released by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, guns are the number one killer of children in the United States of America. The number one killer. More than car accidents, more than cancer. Over the last two decades, more school-age children have died from guns than on-duty police officers and active-duty military combined. Think about that. More kids than on-duty cops killed by guns. More kids than soldiers killed by guns. For God's sake, how much more carnage are we willing to accept?
In October, the CDC released data on U.S. firearm deaths last year, counting over 47,000, the most in at least 40 years.
The United States is grappling with the aftermath of the devastating winter storm that hit the country over the Christmas weekend. The so-called blizzard of the century continues to inflict misery on New York State, which has been hit the hardest. Officials say New York's city of Buffalo now resembles a war zone. More than 60 people have lost their lives in the monster storm, and the toll is expected to rise. The Arctic blast also caused power outages and temporary closure of some of the busiest transport routes in the country. Over the past days, thousands of flights have been canceled and delayed due to the weather conditions. Now officials are warning of the risk of floods once temperatures rise and snow and ice begin to melt. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has unveiled new goals for the country's military for 2023. At a meeting of the ruling Workers' Party, Kim reviewed the newly created challenging situation on the Korean Peninsula and the border political landscapes. The North Korean leader set the direction for what he called anti-enemy struggle and goals for reinforcing defense power. Kim specified the principles of foreign affairs to protect sovereign rights and to defend national interests. Tensions have remained high on the Korean Peninsula this year. That is because of North Korea's repeated missile launches, as well as joint military drills by the neighboring South and the U.S. Pyongyang sees the drills as a rehearsal for an invasion. The other side is opposed to the North's missile tests. And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight. In the U.S., busloads of migrants were dropped over Christmas weekend near Vice President Kamala Harris's residence in Washington. amid freezing temperatures, having travelled from the southwest border in Texas, immigrant aid groups said on Sunday, 25th of December. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website bdnews24.com has covered this story and tells us more. Texas has bused thousands of migrants to Washington, New York City, and Chicago in what some critics have labeled a stunt amid a national debate over the high levels of immigrant arrivals. Busloads of migrants were dropped over Christmas weekend near Vice President Kamala Harris's residence in Washington amid freezing temperatures. Having traveled from the southwest border in Texas, immigrant aid groups confirmed on Sunday, 25th of December. Approximately 110 to 130 of the migrants seeking asylum in the United States, many of them families with children, were placed on buses by Texas officials, said Tatiana Laborde, managing director of SAMU First Response, a relief agency working with the city of Washington, D.C. Tatiana Laborde said by phone that aid groups had been informed of their journey and awaited their arrival late on Saturday to hand out blankets and then transport them to a church in the city's Capitol Hill neighborhood. Aid to Texas Governor Greg Abbott were not available to comment on whether the state coordinated their transportation. The Republican governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, a vocal critic of the Biden administration's immigration policies, and some other Republican governors have been transporting migrants to democratically controlled cities in the northern United States. Texas has bused thousands of migrants to Washington, D.C., to New York City, and to Chicago, Illinois, in what critics have labeled a stunt amid a national debate over the high level of immigrant arrivals along the U.S. southern border with Mexico. Tatiana Laborde said that in the past week, 9 busloads of migrants have been dropped off in Washington. Lately, what we've been seeing is an increase in people from Ecuador and Colombia, Laborde said. Previously, many Venezuelans had been arriving by bus, she added. Many of the most recent arrivals, Tatiana Laborde said, are now attempting to go to New York or onward to New Jersey, where they have relatives or other community support. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. 3 busloads of migrants were dropped off outside the Washington, D.C. home of U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris late on Christmas Eve, the latest episode in an escalating battle between the Joe Biden White House and the governors of southern Republican states over federal immigration policy. The Central and South American migrants believed to be sent from Texas were dropped off in below-freezing temperatures, with some wearing only sweatshirts and shorts. Texas's far-right governor, Greg Abbott, has previously sent buses to Harris's Naval Observatory home. An organizer with the Migrant Solidarity Mutual Aid Network, Amy Fisher, told local news station ABC7 that Greg Abbott orchestrated the drop-off as a political stunt. It really does show the cruelty behind Texas Governor Greg Abbott and his insistence on continuing to bus people here without care about people arriving late at night on Christmas Eve when the weather is so cold, Fisher said. The group took the travelers to the shelter of a local church where they were given warm food and clothes. Tatiana Laborde with SAMU First Response, an aid group that was also there to meet the buses, said Similar drops have been made in Washington since April. Christmas Eve and freezing cold weather is no different, Labor told CNN. We're always here welcoming folks with open arms. The arrivals were the latest salvo in an effort by Greg Abbott to force the Biden administration to step up immigration controls at the U.S. border with Mexico. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis and Arizona's Governor Doug Ducey have also transported migrants to cities that are run by Democrats. You and your administration must stop the lie that the border is secure and instead immediately deploy federal assets to address the dire problems you have caused, Greg Abbott wrote in a letter to Joe Biden last week. Greg Abbott added, you must execute the duties that the U.S. Constitution mandates you perform and secure the southern border before more innocent lives are lost. On Friday, U.S. Customs and Border Protection reported that 233,740 migrants were apprehended at the southern border with Mexico in November, marking the highest number ever recorded for the month. The border agency reported that 204,000 unique encounters, 35%, were from Cuba and Nicaragua. In a statement released on Saturday, the Federal Homeland Security Department said it continues to fully enforce our immigration and public health laws at the border with Mexico. As temperatures remain dangerously low all along the border, no one should put their lives in the hands of smugglers or risk life and limb attempting to cross only to be returned. The Department of Homeland Security added, warning that anyone attempting to enter the United States without authorization is subject to expulsion under the policy known as Title 42. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court temporarily suspended the expiration of the policy, empowering border officials to turn away asylum seekers on public health grounds. The Trump White House imposed it during the early phases of the COVID-19 pandemic. Days before Title 42 was due to expire, the border city of El Paso, Texas, declared a state of emergency after migrant numbers surged. If allowed to expire, Greg Abbott has warned that the number of people entering the United States illegally will only increase.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri wa salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I pray that all of you are well and healthy and keeping strong, inshallah. You know, one of the important commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the Holy Quran is the need and the importance of glorifying Him. What's interesting is that when it comes to the command of glorification, when Allah does an amr, when He makes a command, fasabbih, that command is for us. Because we have free will in this, right? We can decide to or not to be distracted or not. But whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the creation doing His tasbih, He never orders them. He says that they do it. Yeah? يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ. He doesn't say فَسَبِّحْ مَنْ فِي. No, he says they do it. They don't need to be reminded to do it. They know God. They are connected to God, right? As a point of reflection, it behooves us, right, to respect the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respect it, right? Like, you know, this whole movement towards like environmentalism and being conscious about all of these things and how we spend and how we waste and what we throw away. Man, this is not present day news to us. Islam has been teaching us this for the longest time, right? We just needed to wake up to it, to realize that, man, we are going to be judged by how we treated not only each other, but how we treated the entire kaun of Allah, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore we must respect it, right? I can't imagine, like, you know, like from that perspective, you know, sometimes we may use our gadgets and devices and televisions for the wrong reasons. You know, I wonder if they will complain that, Ya Allah, they brought me to this channel. I didn't want to be on this channel, but they brought me. Imagine the level of ripple effect, consequences based on all of this. You wonder, truly, like, it is simply through the mercy of God that we survive, huh? It is simply through the mercy of God that we are successful in the hereafter. When you think about the ripple effect ramifications of everything that transpires in this world. You know, another reason why we sometimes, as Allah says in that same verse, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِي. There is not a thing except that it glorifies God with its praise. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. But that you do not understand their tasbih, Allah says. Why? Why do we not understand their tasbih? Well, it could be because our lack of connectivity to God. It could be because of our being engrossed in the material world. But it also could be that we have not tapped into the higher forms of glorification. You know, there's not just one form of glorification. There are layers and levels of glorification. And it's our responsibility to learn to tap into higher levels. You know, there are things that we have been doing since the time we are children that are part of our faith. As our faith matures, there are higher levels we can go. It's not that then this is all I can do, right? There are levels of spirituality. There are levels of obedience. There are levels of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we just do that bare minimum, right? And think that I have fulfilled it. And you know what? We have fulfilled it. But if I'm not willing to then take that next step forward, that's an indication that my level of faith has not taken that next step forward, right? So the first step is, for example, to avoid haram. And so we avoid haram. Well, now, alhamdulillah, we should be experts at avoiding haram, right? We shouldn't be engrossed in anything haram. And so now that I have gone to that level of avoiding haram, the next step would be to now avoid the makruhat, right? And to engage in the mustahabbat. And then the next level after that would be to avoid shubahat, that which is doubtful. We can't just be like, I've avoided haram, that's it. You know, there is merit to that, no doubt. But we have to learn to take higher levels. Same when it comes to the dhikr of God, there are levels, right? There is dhikru lafzi. Dhikru lafzi is where I do the dhikr of God with my tongue, right? And there's benefit to that. But a lot of times, we can be thinking about 100 different things, but still be saying, Alhamdulillah, 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 right? The way we do in our prayers sometimes. We're thinking about something else, but we're saying all the dhikr and all the surahs that we recite. But that's the first level. Is that level, if that's all we stay in, is that level accepted? Yes, it's accepted by God. Because even that requires some form of recognition, no? Like for me to be able to do that. But besides that, the expectation would be for us as believers now to elevate our game when it comes to the dhikr of God. Elevate our dhikr. And so the second level would be dhikrul ma'nawi, where now I actually think about what I am reciting. Right? And I actually am trying to focus on the wordage of what I am reciting. Because no doubt that would have a tremendous impact, a far greater impact, right? And so it requires us to kind of reflect on it. I remember like in our hawza, you know, there would be teachers who, when they do their tasbih after the salah, it would be as long as the salah itself, because they would literally be thinking about each Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, right? There are ulama who, when you can hear them, when they recite Tasbihatul Arba in their leading jamaat, they would only say it once, but their one would be our three. Why? Because they are thinking about what they are saying. This is impactful, powerful. But we have to have the drive for it. Now, some days we may have the drive for it. Some days we may not have the drive for it. But the days you have the drive for it, man, don't ignore it. Spend time, reflect on these words, and then they have power. And then there's a third level, which is dhikrul qalbi. Dhikrul qalbi is the remembrance of the heart, right? This is levels now, right? So it's where it's not about verbalizing my dhikr. Rather, it's about remembering God at all times. And there's a very lovely hadith from Imam al-Sadiq, alayhi afdalu salatu was salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Where he says, min ashaddi ma faradallahu ala khalqihi dhikrullahi kathira. He says, amongst the most difficult things that Allah has commanded upon His creation is to remember Him frequently. And he says, but I don't mean by that, subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu allahu akbar wa in kana minhu. But it is from remembering God frequently. But he says, I'm not saying that, because again, like, it's easy to do so. Right? It's easy to recite this dhikr. Like, I always see people with tasbihs during my majlis, you know? And some do it very hard. It's really annoying, you know? Where you can hear the beads. You know, next time you hear somebody beating like that, ask them to stop, yeah? Because I can't do it. Humble request. but they're doing tasbih. Now, either they are just habitually just going around, which is possible. But if they're not, then that's not a dhikrul lafzi or qalbi at that time. This is a simple, or ma'nawi or qalbi, it's a lafzi, because you can't be thinking about dhikr of God and listening to what I'm saying and doing all these things simultaneously, right? That dhikrul lafzi has a possibility. And but it's not difficult to keep saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and listen to what I'm saying. That's not difficult. And that's why the Imam says that I don't mean subhanallahi walhamdulillah, because he says this is part of zikrullahi kathira, but it's not that. So then he asks, what is it? He says, walakin zikrullahi indama ahalla wa harram. He says, but it is to remember God when it comes to the halal and the haram of life. Yeah? At every moment, should I watch this, should I not watch this? Should I reply to this, should I not reply to this? Yeah. Should I say something, should I not say something? Should I go here, should I not go here? Should I eat this, should I not eat? When we remember God like that, that means God is not on my tongue, nor is God on my intellect to think about. No, God is now in my heart. Yeah? And so I think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, and that is where we want to get to.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Ever since Russia started its special operation in Ukraine, different aspects of America's interference and its support for the war in Ukraine have been identified. In addition to financial and military support of Ukraine, America has prolonged the war by supplying all sorts of weaponry to Ukraine. This has endangered the security and stability of the region, as well as the wider world. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Russia's TASS news agency has covered this story. The Russian Defense Ministry held a briefing in Geneva, Switzerland, on the sidelines of the 9th Review Conference of the Biological Weapons Convention, where it presented evidence that Ukraine, with America's support, has been working with biological weapons components. Chief of Russian Radiation, Chemical and Biological Protection Force, Igor Krylov, said, "Documented proof was presented that work with the components of biological weapons and research of agents of particularly dangerous and economically significant infections were conducted on Ukrainian soil with America's financial, scientific, and technical and human resources support." According to the military official, video materials were presented with the position of experts from Russia and other countries and testimonies of eyewitnesses and participants of the programs of the Defense Theater Reduction Agency, DTRA, of the U.S. Department of Defense. He noted one of them was a former employee of the U.S. Army Institute of Research, who once again confirmed the fact of work with dangerous pathogens in Ukrainian biolaboratories financed by the Pentagon. Igor Krylov said, "The Russian Defense Ministry has a document with the names of all the key American officials supervising Ukraine's military biological program." Krylov added, among them are former DTRA Director Kenneth Myers, Executive Vice President of the CIA-controlled InQtel venture Tara O'Toole, former head of the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention Thomas Friedman, former director of the National Institutes of Health Francis Collins, former executive director of the Battelle Memorial Institute Jeffrey Wadsworth, and Pfizer's chief scientific officer and president of the company's Global Research, Development and Medicine Division. The Russian defense official said these data are contained in the DTRA expanded report on the activity in Ukraine. Igor Krylov said American biological laboratories carry out work for intensifying the effect of pathogenic microorganisms without proper controls. The Russian defense official said United Nations Undersecretary General and High Representative for Disarmament Affairs, Izumi Nakamitsu, who said before the 9th Review Conference of the Biological Weapons Convention that there was no proper control process of compliance with the convention. As she put it, there were a lot of grey zones, especially when this concerned researchers carried out in the laboratories. Meanwhile, Russia Today has also covered the same story. The head of Russia's nuclear, biological and chemical defense troops said the U.S. military is moving its illegal biological weapons research out of Ukraine to other countries, after reports about it have been leaked. Igor Krylov insisted during a briefing on Saturday, 24th of December, he said, "The Pentagon is actively working to transfer its unfinished research projects to the countries in Central Asia and to countries in Eastern Europe." He added, the Americans have also been boosting cooperation with Cambodia, Singapore, Thailand, Kenya, and some other nations in the Indo-Pacific and Africa regions, with the U.S. Department of Defense being the most interested in countries that already possess laboratories with a high level of biocontainment. The Russian commander said, data on illegal operations of U.S. laboratories in Ukraine was presented at the Organization for Prohibition of Chemical Weapons conference, which was held in Geneva, Switzerland, between 28th of November and 16th of December. It said the data included documentary evidence that work with components of biological weapons and studies of pathogens of especially dangerous and economically significant infections had been carried out on the territory of Ukraine, with financial, scientific, technical, and personnel support from the United States of America. The official revealed that documents obtained by Russia during its special operation in Ukraine revealed that military biological programs have been performed by such organizations as Mechnikov Anti-Plague Research Institute in Kiev, Institute of Veterinary Medicine in Kharkov, and Lviv-based Research Institute of Epidemiology and Hygiene. Krylov added that those files also mentioned 3 Pentagon contractors and 7 high-ranking officials of the U.S. Department of Defense, the Pentagon. The Russian commander said a report by the U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency, DTRA, on its work in Ukraine confirmed the conduct of executive and training activities with pathogens of especially dangerous infections in Ukraine, adding that 80% of this report's content had been redacted. Turkey's Anadolu news agency has also covered the same story. The Russian Defense Ministry official Igor Krylov said the U.S. government spends federal budget funds on dual-purpose biological studies despite formal bans. The Russian defense official said despite formal bans, U.S. budget funds are spent on dual-purpose research. He said in this regard, the U.S. Republican Party opened a probe against Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and chief medical officer for U.S. President Joe Biden. Krylov said the probe confirmed facts of the government financing of experiments through an intermediary firm for intensifying the pathogenic power of viruses, including coronaviruses, whose incidence was not on a massive scale before 2019. Krylov added, the Pentagon transfers unfinished biological studies from Ukraine to Central Asia and Eastern Europe. He noted, according to the available information, the Pentagon actively transfers unfinished researchers under Ukrainian projects to Central Asia and Eastern European states. Simultaneously, America's defense agency is building up cooperation with countries in Africa and the Asia-Pacific region. Countries such as Kenya, Cambodia, Singapore, and Thailand. The defense official said the U.S. Department of Defense, the Pentagon, shows special interest in the countries on whose territory laboratories with a high level of biological isolation are already present. Krylov added, the transfer of dubious biological research from legal and ethical viewpoints to third countries allows the United States not to declare studies held under Pentagon's orders in annual reports on confidence-building measures under the Biological and Toxin Weapons Convention, BTWC. Igor Krylov said the U.S. delegation's head refused to respond to Russia's charges concerning violations of the Biological and Toxin Weapons Convention, BTWC, on the sidelines of the 9th Review Conference of the Biological Weapons Convention in Geneva, Switzerland. According to Krylov, Washington has something to hide and its refusal to respond to the accusations and its blocking of initiatives to resume work on the convention's verification mechanism only further prove that. Igor Krylov said, the United States is not interested in the transparency of the convention implementation.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
If you strive in the cause of God, victory will definitely follow. The following is a part of the speech delivered on June 28, 2022, by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the head of the judiciary branch and a number of top officials and employees of the judiciary. At one time, the enemy hoped for something. It hoped for a weakness or for a shortcoming in the system of the Islamic Republic, but they were frustrated in this. This has happened many times. However, the problem of the enemy is that they cannot understand the secret behind their being frustrated. They cannot understand why this happens. What is the reason that the Islamic Republic can get up again from beneath all these pressures, stand firmly and continue on its way? They do not understand this. They have not been able to understand that in this world, apart from political calculations and contingencies, there are other calculations and contingencies too. These are the divine traditions, which I will now describe in brief for you. These traditions are laws or rules.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The Almighty God has put rules in the material world. He has rules and laws in the human world, and the sun runs unto a term appointed for it. This is the ordinance of the Mighty, the Knowing. And as for the moon, we have ordained for it stages. Quran chapter 36, verses 38 to 39. These are all laws. Neither is it allowable to the sun that it should overtake the moon. This is the same chapter, verse 40. These are current laws, and they are in front of our eyes. The law of gravity is a law that is in front of our eyes, and everyone understands it. But there are also laws that not everyone can understand. The whole Quran is truly filled with verses about these laws. For example, it says, Allah is with those who guard against evil. Chapter 2, verse 194. And whoever strives hard, he strives only for his own soul. Chapter 29, verse 6. And there are other such verses, which I will now discuss, that are laws too. And who is truer of word than Allah? Chapter 4, verse 122. God says that this is a law.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.